Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, joining to you live from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn for episode 94. Joining me in the studio is my producer, Ann Hogan.
Hey.
My brain is like just, I'm like three words ahead, and I'm just not, I had a coffee on the way in.
You're ready? It's all right. I'm here.
You're
right.
Okay. You're going to help me. So over the weekend, I believe, there was an Ask Me Anything, and I don't understand Reddit. Like, I'm an old person, okay? So Reddit came after I was, like, where I drew the line. Like, at Instagram, that's where I stopped. Like,
I'm not learning any more internet things.
I just don't have the, like, patience or the time. I understand that Reddit is under fire because they fired their CEO for some questionable things. I don't understand the context of all that, but I know that people are either thrilled or really pissed. But I know that they do this thing called Ask Me Anything, and I love this concept. So, like, super famous people will answer people's questions in real time, like, what do you eat for breakfast? What's your dog's name? And all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be such a fun, interesting use of technology. Over the weekend, someone who did not divulge their real identity but they are a McDonald's manager.
Okay.
Did a McDonald's Ask Me Anything. Did you hear about this?
No, but sounds fascinating.
So the thing that there were like 4,000 questions were asked, and this person has since like disappeared. Like, their Reddit account has been like deleted, and they vanished into the shadows again. But one of the most fascinating things is that there is a McDonald's secret menu for people who are in the know. And I use that loosely because I feel like if you're in the know at McDonald's, you have made some life choices that you should reevaluate.
Right.
I'll tell you a funny McDonald's story. McDonald's to me is like road trip.
Okay.
And night of heavy drinking, mm-hmm. which is a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But
cosign.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Sorry, I was just co-signing that statement.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
Jack, engineer.
That's all.
Okay,
sorry.
So, no, not all. So, Jack, you're on board with me, though. Like, night of heavy drinking.
Oh, yeah.
McDonald's seems like a good idea.
Last time I had McDonald's was two times that I can remember. One on the road, of course.
Right.
Like, my car broke down, and there was a McDonald's, you know, there. And then my brother's wedding at, like, 3:30 in the morning when everybody was shit-faced, and there was a McDonald's across the street from the hotel.
And you're like, oh, my God, dude, French fries are so good.
And you're like,
so
now is the time.
Yep.
And you wake up, and you're like, oh.
I made the worst decision.
Yeah.
You know that feeling that you just, like, mimic that, like, oh. I had that feeling just reading about this secret menu.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Mm-hmm.
So I will tell you that one of the last times I went, someone mentioned that McDonald's doesn't have seltzer, and I am obsessed with seltzer. My husband thinks that I have an unnaturally, like, I have a bad relationship
All
with
right.
seltzer.
Okay.
I'm totally fine with it. I just drink it. I prefer it to just, you know, flat water. It has, you know, no sugar, no calories. I get, like, the fruit. Anyway, besides the point. I go through the drive-thru because someone has said they don't have seltzer there, and I get into a conversation. I'll say conversation. He would probably say argument with the guy at the drive-thru about, can I have a seltzer? And he was like, we don't have seltzer.
Yeah, you do.
I said, it's the button next to the Sprite. Everyone
right,
knows that.
Right.
They don't. And he did not think I was cute or funny. He was like, lady, it is 2:00 in the morning. Go home.
You are not getting your seltzer.
So it turns out that they don't have seltzer because it's all pre-measured. So there's no computer button for seltzer. It's like, you can get Coke or you can get Sprite, but you can't get just the soda, which... As
infuriating.
I mean, that's reason enough why I don't go to McDonald's. But I have to say, some of these off-menu, secret menu items are horrifying. I'm going to say that anyone who orders the Land, Sea, and Air burger just has given up on their day. It's just like, you know what? It's a fish fillet patty, a Big Mac, and a McChicken sandwich all like put together like the pages of two phone books or three phone books as the case may be. And in this AMA, the best part is they tell you how much it costs. So it was $8.49 if you ask for it. And I guess like when you think about all of the people who work at a McDonald's, does everyone have to memorize these off menu Like, there's some rumor that Chipotle also has off-menu items.
I don't know anything about this. I feel like this is, like, a whole nother territory that I'm entering. I'm interested, though. Like, what else do they have on there? So we got, like...
Okay. I should have asked you before we got in this conversation. Tell me about your relationship. Are you, like, I am not at McDonald's ever under any circumstances.
The last time I had McDonald's was... in a car on a road trip. We were in like somewhere in the wilds of Westchester. It was like 6 years ago. And it was the fries.
You got the fries?
Yeah. Well, it was funny when I first started dating my girlfriend, you know, however, that's 8 years ago at this point. I like used to have a thing for like McDonald's chicken nuggets. And then she was like, that can't be part of your life. And it was kind of like smoking. You weren't allowed. So yeah. I was like, yeah, okay, that sounds about right after the homework. So
if you ever get a hankering, you can order something called a Big McChicken, which is a Big Mac, but instead of the bread layers, which there's a top layer, a middle layer, and a bottom layer on a Big Mac, it is chicken patties.
Oh, come on.
I swear to God. And so I'm like reading through this and I'm like, I got that sense that Jack just did before that like, just reading it. Yeah, there's a picture. There's a picture. Anne's looking over at the computer.
There's no bun whatsoever.
No bun. No, this is if you're on the paleo.
that's gross.
Okay, now I'm going to scroll down and there are two that I was like, oh, that I could do.
You're like, this is a maybe for me.
This is a maybe. Okay, this is about? A like, so when I was a kid, my mom used to bribe me to go to the orthodontist with the promise of McDonald's.
Okay.
But my orthodontist appointments were always first thing in the morning because she wanted to get me to school and not miss anything and have her day. And so it was always like an egg sandwich. And I was like, but I want a cheeseburger or a milkshake. And they're like, nope. There's something called the Mc1035. And I am not advertising this. I do not think anyone should go out and run and get it. But between 10 a.m. and 11, or 10:30 and 11 a.m., you can get a combination cheeseburger and egg McMuffin. And I was like, that I could do. It's like
I kind of like that there's like a time limit to it because that makes it more like a contest. Right. So I'm like, okay, like we have to like seek it out.
10:35.
I could like imagine people running through the streets. Right. Like that's what I need.
If only they were doing that for like heirloom tomatoes. And then the last one, and then we're going to move on to an even more relevant conversation now. There is a apple pie McFlurry, which means they will take an apple pie and vanilla ice cream and puree it together for you. And that, Jack, back me up here. 3:30 in the morning dessert?
Oh, yeah.
And with that, I'm going to change topics to a tweet that I saw as I was coming in today.
Okay.
That Penn Jillette, who is the magician half of Penn and Teller, whom I adore, I did not know this about him until he sent out this tweet, but apparently he lost a dramatic amount of weight. But there's this new study from the American Journal of Public Health and the CDC that says without surgical intervention, people who are on their own to lose weight, 1% of them will, if you are obese or higher, morbidly obese, 1% of the population without outside intervention will be able to achieve and maintain a normal body weight in their lifetime. 1%.
See, now that sounds really depressing. I want to know the parameters of that study. Like, I want to know, like, who they were studying, though, and, like, what, like, was it just arbitrary? It just sounds kind of like...
So I will read to you from the article that Penn linked, like we're friends, Penn. Me and Penn were reading on CBS.
Okay.
9 years worth of data for 76,704 obese men and 99,791 obese women. So about just under 200,000 people from the UK were analyzed by the King's College of London, who found that the annual probability of reaching a normal weight was less than 1% for both groups, 1 in 210 people for men, 1 in 124 for women. And at least 50% of those people have put the weight back on in 2 years.
I guess I just want to know what their, like, lifestyle choices. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I want to know, like, how did they, like, sure. Were they on, like, different kinds of diets? Or did they change things completely? I don't know. I'm skeptical. I want to know more.
Okay, so we'll parking lot that because I really want to know more. Park it. And I do know that it does say that people who had bariatric surgery were excluded. So they didn't, it was just, like, pure lifestyle and exercise change.
I just need to park it because I want more hope. I want it to be bigger. I want to find
Emily,
out.
You cannot take me from a Big Mac with chicken patties to there's no hope. I will
like
become.
All we have.
I will witness and become a like carnivorous nihilist on air.
Oh, man. All we have is like secret Big Macs and nobody's losing the weight.
Nope.
Tough. We got to figure this out.
Nope. So I will tell you that it's been hot and humid. I have been on my running grind and it works. It worked. Like I was off my running grind because I was like, it's just so hot. I can't.
You've been running in this?
I've been running. Well, so I signed up for a 5K, the Asbury Park 5K, which I ran last year. And this time last year, I was about 2 weeks away from the race. I had never run longer than a mile.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't know if I can finish a 5K. Like I think I talked about it. Jack will tell me that I talked extensively about my fear on air of being able to run 3.2 miles.
Mm.
And I did it and I didn't stop and it was beautiful and it's on the ocean. And then, so I signed up again and to do it this year. And the best two reasons to run this race are they have an amazing t-shirt.
Okay.
And you get a free pass to the beach for the rest of the day. So normally you have to pay $6, which is like, what? No, the beach is free. Or right, you run 3.2 right. miles and they're like, oh, you ran. Okay, you can get on the beach.
You
which is like,
beach.
I mean, so the psychology good. Behind that, I don't know. Therapy would probably answer a couple of questions in that. But I signed up again with another friend who is sort of in the boat that I was this time last year. Like she has gone from like, oh no, I don't run. Mm-hmm. I hate running. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't, you know, no way. She's probably listening. And I'm so excited because I got the email to confirm that I had registered. And it was like, click here, make sure you're registered. And I did. And then I clicked to make sure she's registered. And she did. And I'm like, I'm so excited to know that because I was like, there's a chance that she'd be like, yeah, no, I'll watch you. I'll be at the finish line. She actually signed up.
Sounds awesome.
So I'm very excited for that. But yeah, it's only 3.2 miles, but it's hot and early and like, yeah. You gotta
get on it.
And I have been, you know, I don't have a ton of work in the summertime. I'm between semesters. So I'm like eating and like cooking and drinking. And they had like a zucchini cake on the other day and ate half of it. And those numbers on the scale go up. And I was like, I am not buying new jeans in the fall.
It's
no way.
Happened.
So was like, I ordered myself some new running shoes and I'm back on the grind.
Congrats to you.
Thank you.
Rock and roll.
So after that, food news, you guys all now have something to go home and, you know, back to the dinner table and be like, did you know about McDonald's secret menu?
Mm.
Something to talk about later on. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Heritage Radio's own Jimmy Carboni, host of Beer Sessions Radio.
Yay.
And his Chef King, who has opened Tito King's in the back of Jimmy's number 43.
Yeah.
This is Rec Tech. We'll be right back. The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards and Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Welcome back to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, coming to you live from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Joining us in the studio are today's guests, Jimmy Carboni. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Emily.
Jimmy, you host Beer Sessions on Heritage Radio Network.
I love my job.
Isn't it a great job that we get to do?
It's amazing. I love being out here.
And the Roberta's other thing Pizza. That you do is you own a restaurant named Jimmy's Number 43 in the East Village.
That's what keeps it all going.
Do you want to know that it took me probably three trips to your restaurant to figure out that the 43 was the street number? Is that unique or do you hear that a lot?
I think that that's designed that way.
Yeah. I was like, oh.
Cryptic.
It's the street number. Oh, I got it. And you brought with you your chef, Chef King, who has opened Tito King's in Jimmy's Number 43 and now is producing the food that you guys are serving. And I'm so excited. And he's brought with him his daughter, who is the most charming four-year-old almost five, right? You'll be five in October. Can you say hi into the microphone?
Hi.
Can you tell us your name?
Hi, Phoebe.
It's so nice to meet you, Phoebe. Tell me about what it's like to have a dad who's a chef. Do you eat really good food?
Sure does, right?
We got a nod. She's going to grow up to be a radio professional. This is going to be played on Jimmy Fallon. She's going to be mortified.
What I'm going to tell you is, before you guys are talking about McDonald's, but that ad for the S. Wallace Meats, that's what I want.
Exactly, right? I hear that and I'm like, yes, I don't get that ill feeling. I get that, like, where do I find that?
I know that Phoebe likes ham and things like that.
You like ham? Oh, me too. So I saw one of your menu items is Filipino lumpia, right? Am I saying, is it lumpia or lumpia?
It's lumpia.
It's one of my very favorite things that I just recently discovered. And I love that every culture has like some sort of wrapper, some sort of filling, and then deep fry it. But that, I had lumpia and I was like, oh my God,
yeah,
this is my new favorite thing.
It's amazing. I always say it's like Pringles. You can't just have one, you know?
Right. And much like the ham to McDonald's ratio, this is much better than Pringles.
Oh, yeah.
And they're so, so good. So tell me, Jimmy, why don't we start with an update on the East Village? Listeners may not know that there was a massive explosion that, when you looked at the news footage, your building was the first one standing next to this pile of demolition that happened because of a gas leak.
It was pretty intense, March 26th, and we were lucky a few days later our building was still standing, and we have a great photo of all the firefighters outside, and they stopped the fire from taking down our building. But fast forward, we've been open, and part of the reopening was what had been long due was redoing the kitchen, and King was a big part of that. We kind of had to do some renovations anyways after the fire, so we fixed up the kitchen, brought in some new low boys, some new smallwares, and it's really King coming in as the kitchen whisperer. it was long overdue. We've been open for almost 10 years, and I knew that it was time to have a new kitchen. We've been talking since last fall. I think King might have more to say about that. The one thing about the East Village disaster is that there's one thing left that hasn't been fixed, and it's the B&H, which is the vegetarian dairy diner on 2nd Avenue. Because of intense post-disaster inspections, they haven't been able to reopen, and they've been forced to put in an entire new fire protection and ventilation system. And if you go to their Facebook page, check it out. It's B&H Restaurant. You'll find it. They're still raising money. So I would say they're the ones that are going to open, but they're the ones that need the help. And,
okay.
But otherwise, you know, we're just trying to stay open and do business.
So you, Chef, have a connection to Jimmy through Pig Island, right? Is that sort of how you guys met and know each other?
Yeah, we met prior to that, probably about 10 years ago. Jimmy and I used to volunteer for Spoons Across America. And they're a group that they recruit volunteers. So Jimmy and I were Jimmy and I were volunteers, and we taught first and second graders, taught them about food. So we would taste food, talk about flavors. And it's like a 6-week program, and the last day of class, we would bring them to our restaurant, and half the class would set up the dining room, the other half would prep with us in the kitchen, and then we'd switch. So it was great, because a lot of first and second graders had never been to a restaurant before. You know, it was in the public school system. And Jimmy and I met there. We kind of hit it off. He became a fan of Kuma Inn, and I became a fan of Jimmy's 43. And it was always something we would talk about. Like, oh, yeah, we should get together and do something one day, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, talking, and we did it.
And then that day came.
That day came.
But the fun part for me was that it was like I said, we've been there 10 years, and I didn't want to change the whole place around. But the kitchen was really ready for a total overhaul. And, you know, King came in with new ingredients, new menu items, and new leadership, too. So I think, King, why don't you tell them about the menu items that you picked, because they're really great. And my 13-year-old daughter thinks the food is awesome. So talking about kids craving, you know, late-night spots.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as a chef over the years, I've realized kids are, I think, the biggest critics, you know. So if you can make a kid happy, you're in there, you know. You know it's good. Because so, I don't serve chicken nuggets and pasta and butter in my restaurant. So.
And so, yeah, so where do you come down on, like, a kid's menu?
There's no kid's menu. You know, I mean, like, Phoebe, she's been eating everything since she's been growing up. Like, I used to puree her foods at the restaurant and bring them home and freeze them. Yeah, you know, I don't really believe in cooking something separate for the kid or having them eat, like, a bowl of plain pasta. I don't know.
I'm
it
right
just doesn't
there
make
with
sense.
You. I'm right there with you.
So with that, I mean, so the menu at Jimmy's 43, you know, it's a bar. You've been there. It's a lot of great beer. And now there's a full liquor license. So there's great bourbon, gin, and vodka as well. And going in there, what I wanted to do was create kind of a Filipino, Thai, Southeast Asian bar menu. And that's what we've done. So instead of your regular, like, buffalo wings, we have fried adobo chicken wings. Instead of, like, a bowl of fries, we do what we call halo-halo fries. So I take some fries, and on the side I saute ground pork with fermented black beans and some Thai chilies, a little oyster sauce, and then we put that on top of the fries, a little Japanese mayonnaise, some bonito flakes, and kind of you'll mix it up.
Oh, my God. I can't. I'm like, wait, where? Jimmy, what are you doing immediately after this show? What time
you
is
guys
the kitchen
are
open?
Way, and the other thing is, like, the food's all really good food. Like, even the fries, it's like it's potatoes, you know, cut and boiled first and then fried. You know, it's all still like fresh ingredients.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and the wings too. Like, I'm not like buffalo wings. I'm not a wings fan, but I love chicken. So the wing dish that King makes, the wings adobo, it's braised chicken. So it's like what? It's like soy, vinegar, garlic, marinade.
Yep, that's a basic adobo braise. So a Filipino adobo, soy, vinegar, garlic. You braise that usually either chicken or pork. So we braise it until it's tender, then we dry it, and then on the pickup, we just deep fry it.
Oh my goodness.
So they're crispy wings, but they fall right off the bone.
Right.
And I want to throw down a challenge. There's a lot of East Village has a lot of really good food now. Huertas is doing tapas. Empollon, they have their taco place. But David Chang just opened his fried chicken place, the Fuku Chicken. And I'm like, you know what? Chicken sandwich was okay. But guess what? Our wings adobo kicks butt.
And if all right, you heard it here. We're
going out for drinking beer, and we have some new cocktails to go with it. I'm going out for the lumpia, which is pork or vegetable. You got some great dumplings, but the chicken wings adobo, that's hands down, that's my dish.
And then you have this other, you have to call in advance, but if you have a group of friends, you can have like your own dedicated party, right? Which is...
Yeah, you know, well, in the fall, we're going to start offering it regularly every Sunday. But for now, what you could do if you have a group of friends, we offer a whole roasted pig, a lechon. So I serve two types. You know, one is a suckling pig. So that's around, you know, anywhere between like 12 and 15 pounds. Or we get a full hog, like 30 to 35 pounds. And we roast it, and you come in and...
King's
go down
recipe.
And eat it.
And it's, so the suckling pig gets brought to the table.
We present it first whole. Everybody gets to see it before
awesome.
We carve it up. But yeah, it's like a beautiful crispy skin, nice juicy meat on the inside. We serve it with some rice, with some sauteed greens, some pickles. And after we show it to you, we chop it up and you go to town.
Momofuku sambar. I always had that kind of pork butt for like eight.
Right?
This
yeah.
is better. This is King's Secret Recipe. Just think of the pig. The skin is perfectly crisp. You're getting the pork that's cooked perfectly with the crisp skin, which is a special sauce that has some soy in it. And then we serve it with some greens and rice. And it's really like we did a dinner on Sunday with whiskey with it. And I'm just like, this is what I'm coming out for too. So
awesome.
I mean, we're really trying to put ourselves on the map culinary wise because King's a great chef. And I've been wanting to be working with a good chef for a long time at Jimmy's Number 43.
And Jimmy, you have such a warm, inviting space. I've always felt welcome there. You have great staff. The women who work behind the bar are just awesome. And I'm so happy that you are still standing.
All right, me too.
I got a listener question over the weekend, and I'm going to ask you guys to chime in too, because this comes from a listener and my dear friend, Annika. She said, what do you do when you have a peach tree? She has a peach tree in her yard, and she has 100 peaches approximately that are all going to be ripe on the same day. So I said, you know, there's like the classic, you can make peach preserves, you can make peach chutney, which are my two sort of if I feel like cooking, but it's like 100 degrees. And it's one of the like downsides of preserving stuff for the rest of this winter is that you have to do, peaches are in season when it's 95 degrees outside. You can freeze peaches whole in their skin, just put them on a cutting board or a sheet tray rather, put them in the fridge, let them freeze through, and then put them in gallon bags, and they'll be delicious in February. But I was going to turn it over to Chef and to Jimmy and see if you guys had any ideas for Annika too.
Well, the frozen part I like. I mean, that's the best way to do it if you don't have like a cryovac at home or anything. If individually freeze them and then bag them together and throw them back in. But the first thing that comes to mind, I think of peaches. Well, I mean, there's only so many peaches you could eat, but I love ripe peaches coming off a tree, the juice like just spilling down.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. But I think about a peach tartar town. I love those, you know. I mean, I know it's hot, but still that and a little bit of ice cream on top. And
yep, I made a galette last night that was so good. I used Melissa Clark's recipe from the New York Times, and I just wanted something, like, easy to roll out, fast, like, and I didn't have time. So it was like, there's an egg yolk in the dough, which makes it, you know, forgiving. Rolled it out, folded up the edges. It was so rustic. I threw some blueberries in just because I had them in the fridge. It was really, really good.
King makes also these great pickles called achara. Would you do a peach achara or not?
Yeah, you could. I mean, you don't want them so ripe, but if you have a lot of peaches and they're not super ripe yet, yeah, you could definitely pickle them. That would be great.
So underripe, this would be an underripe peach treatment. So if some of them came in and they were super ripe, because they probably will come in ripe over the course of 5 days or 10 days or something like that. So you could harvest some underripe ones and pickle them. I had not thought. Yeah. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, you could pickle them for sure. Because, you know, they're really firm, they're hard. They'll hold up to the acid, and it actually tastes pretty good because since they're not that fully ripe yet, they're not going to be sweet.
And would this be a pickle that you keep in the refrigerator or a pickle you would can?
I would refrigerate it. You could also bottle it or can it, sure. Yeah.
I have some. There's just not enough hours in the day to cook everything that I want to cook.
King, would you tell him what achara is? Because he makes these great pickles that we serve with our lumpia and our chicken wings.
Yeah, the achara is a Filipino style quick pickle, basically green papaya, carrots, daikon radish, garlic, ginger, and a little bit of fresh chilies.
And is this shredded?
I've had
green
julienne.
Papaya. Okay.
Yeah, we julienne it. And then the acidity comes from rice vinegar, some salt, and some sugar.
Phoebe's got a future in radio, I'm telling you. She's got commentary. She's great.
Do you say hi?
Hi.
I can't talk louder. I can't hear you. Hi.
Like, nope. No. I know what it's like to have a small one at home who's like, and I'll tell you, he's been eating what we ate, my son James, from the time he could eat solid food. He's going through a period of like, no, thank you. Like, I made this beautiful bluefish with tomatillos yesterday, and he was, like, not having any of it. He had yogurt for dinner. And it was just too hot. It was, like, 95 degrees in our house. I was like, fine, yogurt, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's days like that. I mean, I can tell you when we did that program, the Days of Taste, Spoons Across America, you know, depending on what neighborhood we were in, like, majority were in Lower East Side Chinatown. Yeah. Really straightforward. Everybody was so grateful. But then we went to another neighborhood, I won't name where, but further up north.
Uh-huh.
And before the class even started, I had parents coming up to me, oh, my kid's allergic to this, this, and that. My kid doesn't eat fish. Yeah. My kid doesn't eat that. I'm like, okay, I didn't even start anything.
Right. You know? Right.
We're going to be tasting, like, we're going to start very basic. Needless to say, I mean, at the end of the whole thing, parents were coming up to me and saying, oh, my kid wants to eat fish now. He's asking for striped bass. He's asking for salmon. I'm like, oh, good.
Because
that's what we had, like, the last day.
Yeah.
You know? We met farmers. You know, we got to see where food comes from. That, you know, you don't put money in a machine and, like, this box comes out. You put it in your mouth. You know, you got to see where it's the harvest and what we do with the produce that comes in. So we were making sorbets. We were making dressings. We were making salads. And, yeah, the kids loved it. And, I mean, I think it's priceless. Like, you know, they're never going to forget that. And
right. Yeah, teaching kids about food is, like, I love it. I taught a kids cooking camp last summer, and it was, like, I had a whole spectrum of kids from, like, lives on cheeseburgers to his favorite restaurant was Danielle. Like, I had the whole spectrum. And they were, you know, I had them, like, break down chickens, and it's little, and, you know, parents were like, you're going to let them handle raw chicken? I'm like,
right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. Trust me, your kid will not be the first one who I ever taught to break down a chicken. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thank you guys both so much for participating in bringing America's youth into a food culture. Starting with Phoebe. Phoebe, thank you so much for coming.
Say thank you.
And Chef King and Jimmy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we are almost out of time here. I want to say next week is Anne's birthday. Happy birthday, Anne.
Thank you.
She's got the day off. She asked, and I was like, I had to think about it for a second. It's also my wedding anniversary, and it is Deputy Director Allison Hamilton's birthday. It is July 28th. It's a big day in the Heritage Radio Network family.
It's true. And it's my brother's birthday, and we're not twins.
What?
I know.
That's incredible.
July
28th. Guess what we're doing with the peaches?
What?
You didn't ask me.
I'm going
to grill them.
Yeah.
Grill them and then, like, splash them with bourbon.
splash them with bourbon, and then smear them on a crostini with a piece of really good blue cheese.
Sure. Mm.
Oh, that'd be so good.
All right, you can come out for my birthday, Jimmy.
And I'll tell you where she's hanging out. I know you're not going to do it, but for my birthday, I want to go do that suckling pig for 80 of your friends.
I mean, I'll just come.
You
I'll hang.
You can get a vegetarian and a pia, right?
Yeah, the pickles.
Awesome. Next week, I will be here, and I want to say thank you to everyone who is listening. If you like what you hear, if you would tell your friends to subscribe to the show on iTunes, feel free to get in touch with us at heritageradionetwork.org. You can tweet me at Chef Emily P, or you can go to sharpandhot.com or facebook.com/sharpandhot. The song today, the break music, was provided by Rectech. My theme song, the Sharp and Hot theme song that every guest who comes in here smiles when they hear it played, was created by my friend Pete Shukoff, the man behind Nice Peter and Epic Rap Battles. So thank you to Nice Peter. Next up, at the end of this episode, we have a teaser clip of Chef Marco Canora sharing some snack hacks on The Food Scene, another great show found right here on Heritage Radio Network. Until next week, everyone, keep playing with fire and knives.
There's so much misinformation out there, and everybody thinks that eating well needs to be surrounded with deprivation. And it's like, it's not deprivation at all. Like, I'm a fucking hedonist.
Chef Marco Canora shares some snack hacks on episode 226 of The Food Scene, hosted by Michael Harlan Turkell.
I love food. I eat food like crazy. I don't need to be hungry to eat food. It is just like a huge part of my life. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid of this idea of eating well because they think that you turn your back on all that stuff. And no, it doesn't mean you turn your back on loving food. It just means you have to educate yourself and think differently about it.
So when you think of popcorn, do you instantly think, oh, that's fiber. That's going to clear me out.
Yeah, you know, yes, I think about popcorn and then I say, well, let's make sure I put the right fat on it, and let's make sure, you know, I'm getting a good quality popcorn that's not some kind of highly mass-produced GMO popcorn, and then it's great popcorn, and I'll grate some really good pecorino cheese on it and put a boatload of black pepper on it and put a big hunk of really good grass-fed butter on it and some nice sea salt. And, man, it's fucking delicious, decadent popcorn that I could eat a tub of it until I'm sick. And I'm not going to feel so bad about it, right?
Because of you, now cacio e pepeing something is like a verb in our house.
Right.
We always have that hunk of pecorino.
This was an excerpt from episode 226 of The Food Scene, hosted by Michael Harlan Turkell. Did you like it? The Food Scene episodes are available on our website or on iTunes. Dig in for more. This piece was brought to you by Bonnie Plants, bonnieplants.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.